You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Romance and real life. What an amazing thing. Maybe your real life is taking over your romance, and you got a little too much real life and not enough romance. And it's good to see that with Lady and the Tramp being able to look eye to eye. As our message today, we talk about a table for two and five courses on the table for two. And maybe you need some more table for two time. Maybe you need to be able to understand what that means, to look back into her eyes or look back into his eyes. Or maybe you're a single and you need to just understand what it's going to say in Song of Songs of how to move forward towards that and what it means to prepare for that if God has that for you. You know, when we talk about relationships, as we began last week in the Song of Songs, we talked about tender words, kind heart. Guys, we really talked about how to be a man that is tender and kind and the loving words that he used. And then we ran out of time in last week's message. And I told you this week, we're going to talk about the women's perspective and how the ladies are using their words as well. And we're going to jump into that. But today is for all of us. So it might be that you're single and you're filing some stuff away. Might be that you're widowed or that you're older in your years and you're remembering back on something. It might be that you're a student and you're learning. It might be that you're single or engaged or you're married and you're beginning to think about these things, and married, you're applying these things. But as we look in the Song of Songs at the end of chapter one, if you got your Bible, in the beginning of chapter two, we're going to see this journey of Solomon and his bride. An encouragement here. We talked about kindness and character and using tender words is what we're looking for last week. And then this week to understand five courses at a table for two. I'm going to give you five things of a growing relationship, five principles of a growing relationship. Now, we're going to read some big chunks of scripture, and these chunks of scripture are going to be wonderfully poetic. They're going to be amazingly beautiful, and we're going to look and we're going to be able to see these things and see how this lady is responding to the kindness of this man, what this lady is directing towards her man. And I want you to look in Song of Songs, chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. How handsome are you, my love? You remember last week, he calls her my darling. In verse 15, happens nine times. She calls him my love. Watch it happen. How handsome are you, my love? How delightful. Our bed is like grass. The beams of our house are like cedars. Our rafters are like cypress. I'm a wildflower or a rose of Sharon. The lily of the valleys. Like a lily, the man says, among thorns, so is my darling among young women. Then the woman speaks and she says, like an apricot tree among the trees of the forest, so is my love among young men. I delight to sit in his shade. His fruit is sweet to my taste. He has brought me to the banqueting hall. He has looked over me with love. Some of you may remember a different version of, he's brought me to the banqueting table and his banner over me is love in verse 4. Verse 5, sustain me with raisins and refresh me with apricots, for I am love sick, she says. May his left hand be under his head, be under my head. May his right arm embrace me. Young women of Jerusalem, I charge you that by the gazelles and the wild does of the field, do not stir up or awaken love until its appropriate time. It's a drag racer sitting at the starting line, but it's not green light yet. They're just dating. They're just engaged at this point, and it's just waiting on it. Listen, my love, in verse 8, my love, she calls him again, is approaching. Look, here comes her man. Here he comes, leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My love is like a gazelle. He's like a young stag. See, he is standing behind our wall and gazing through the windows and the latticework he is peering. My love calls to me. So here we have the words that you spoke just yesterday in your kitchen to your wife. Can you believe that? Isn't that incredible? Weren't you just thinking the whole time I was reading that? How did I just said that? I just called him my love. I always say my darling. I mean, if I haven't told him he's my stag 10 times, I don't know what else I call that guy. If I hadn't said she's a graceful doe and he's a gazelle bounding over, most of us men are like, man, if I'm bounding over mountains, my back's going to be hurting in the morning. I don't know what I'm going to do. And to be able to say, no, let's go for it. Here's the first thing of a growing relationship is words of praise. Words of praise. We talked about the tender words that the man used last week, that she said, man, I've been an outside girl. I've got sunburn. I've been working in the fields. I'm not an inside girl with just soft skin. I'm an outside girl, and I'm a little bit worried about that in that time of being in this moment. And he says, hey, you're beautiful to me. And then now her self-esteem has grown. And as her self-esteem grows, now she's saying at the beginning of chapter 2, she says, I'm a lily of the valley. I'm the rose of Sharon. I'm a delicate flower that is beautifully blossoming under his tenderness. So then she responds and she says, my love, verse 16, how handsome is he? How delightful is he? Then she goes on further and talks about how amazing he is. In the further verses of like verse 7, that he's a gazelle in the field. Verse 8, my love, here he comes bounding. The first thing is this, is that she is giving him words of praise. Words of praise. So here's what we need to know in our relationships. There's things that we know what to do, and there's things that we need to know what not to do. Let me tell you what you should do, and then I'll tell you what you shouldn't do. Know what to do, we should do this. This is a mouthful of a sentence, but it's good. Identify and express what you love in a language that will be understood and appreciated. Identify and express what you love in that person that will be understood and appreciated. Now, that means you got to think about it. If she likes notes, guys, you better get out your pen. If he likes gifts, then you need to start buying something, ladies. If it's acts of service for one of you, then it's time to wash the car or clean up around the house or do something like that. And to be able to walk in these ways, those five love languages of gifts, acts of services, words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, what is it? And to know that so that you can communicate your love in that. So as he's speaking here of this dating relationship, now, just so you know, I know when we talk about these things, we're learning, we're going to laugh, and there's also things we're going to have to heal. Because instead of receiving words of affirmation, maybe you've received negative words. Maybe you're wounded. As we talk about relationships, you've been wounded, maybe even physically, because someone has done something bad to you. Let God heal you as we journey through of seeing what it's supposed to be like. She says she's so secure in his love that she's a rose, that she's a lily. Then he responds in verse 2 and says, you are a lily among thorns. You are my darling. So we've got to know what to do to identify and express in a way that the other person can hear it and receive it. John Maxwell, as only he could do, gives us a list of four things. And here's what he says. Number one, identify. Identify. Declare what you appreciate and name it about that person. Number two, specify. Be as specific as you can about that quality. Don't just say, you're awesome. Say, you're awesome because ... and get as specific as you possibly can. Number three, quantify. Express how they have made a measurable difference in your life and in somebody else's life. So we identify, we specify, we quantify, and then number four, we magnify. Encourage them generously in a public setting. When somebody walks up and you're standing there, husbands, and they say, oh, what a beautiful dress. You say, yes, she looks gorgeous tonight, doesn't she? You don't say, yeah, if you only knew how much it cost. Right? Well, you look gorgeous tonight. Yeah, that's why we're 20 minutes late. Are you trying to win? You trying to lose, brother? What are you trying to do? So generously give them those words. Same thing, ladies. The rolling of the eyes is not going to help anybody anytime. To be able to generously encourage them in public and particularly in front of their peers and people that they respect. And allow that to be something that you know what to do now. Okay, how do we get these words out? Now I know what to do. And be interested in things they're interested in. Maybe it's not a big interest to you, but if they're interested in it, now you're interested in it. And there's going to be things that you are interested in that they're interested in. That's all the better. You can share that interest together. But to be able to journey together in that way. Now, what do we know not to do? Here's what we don't do. Talking about words of praise, not praise like we praise God, but encouragement words is what we're talking about. Here's what you don't do. Number one, you never threaten divorce. You never threaten divorce. It's a cutting word. Number two, you never use the word, I'm going to use a double negative, you don't use always or never. unless it's you're always beautiful, you're always kind, you're never mean to me. Now you can use in that things, but you never, when it turns into World War III in your kitchen, start using always and never. And so here they are as engaged folks, and she's saying, my love, my stag, my darling, my doe, and they're just going crazy all over them. Now, let me get for both men and women, and then I'm going to say particularly to ladies on something. You never criticize, we hit on this a bit, you never publicly criticize or correct your spouse or the person that you're dating and that you're serious with. So here's what it looks like. Did y'all have a good vacation? Yeah, it was amazing. We had to get to the airport at 8:30, 8:15. And then we got to the rental car place and Hertz was packed. Avis. Who cares if it's Avis or Hertz at 8:15 or 8:30? Nobody wants to be married to their mom or dad. Nobody wants to be married to their English teacher correcting their grammar all the time. God bless you, English teachers. It doesn't matter. Unless he's outright lying and somehow he's gaining something by being at Avis instead of Hertz, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It makes you look bad to be the continual corrector in the moment, and it takes his legs out for under him is what it does. Just let him tell the story. It doesn't matter. Let her tell the story. It doesn't matter. But that continual criticizing is like a drop of water. And it says in Proverbs, it's better to live on the edge of a roof than with a complaining, quarrelsome wife. And so don't correct or criticize publicly. And even when it's time privately, is it even worth it to even go for it? I'm not talking about having a fight. I'm just talking about everything's not this way. Let it go. Let it go. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Ladies, and that's for ladies and gentlemen. Ladies, can I speak to you and just tell you what I hear from many men, okay? I'm just trying. Being your friend, I'm pulling you in. You ready? Here we go. Some of y'all have been saying, I can't wait till next week. Here comes next week. Don't forget you're a wife because you're a mom. Don't forget you're a wife because you're a mom. I hear from guys all the time that are so weary of the chaos that is created of trying to make our kids the center of the world. And let me just tell you what, kids, students, listen up. You being the center of the world in your home will not help you one bit when you get a real job. And it will not help you one bit when you are in a real marriage. And it will not help you one bit when you are in a real time of turmoil. You will find that you have been set up to fail. The center of the home is the marriage of the home. The number one relationship in the home is dad and mom as husband and wife. And ladies, I know you carried them. I know the motherly instinct is greater than anything. I know it can go full tilt. I get it. I've heard. I know. I get it. I mean, I don't know, but I know, okay? But don't forget you're a wife just because you're a mom, because if you check out of his life for 18 years, you're gonna find when you get back and it's just the two of you, there's nothing left. And the best thing that can happen for your kids is for mom and dad to be absolutely head over heels in love. It's the greatest thing that can happen. And to allow that to take place in that thing. So it's awesome. So guys, here's, I say this funny, if kind of you're texting her and she's not really texting back, here's all you gotta do. Just pick out one of your kids and text and say, hey, I just talked to so-and-so, name the kid, say, give me a call whenever you can. And she will, what happened, what did he say? And then you just say, I just talked to him and he said he's fine, everything's great. Anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about was, it'll work every time. You just put that name of that kid in there and that car will come peeling out and she'll come running down the road. If the kid is, you know, you don't lie, but use it to your advantage if you do talk to your children on the phone. Just kidding. But then walk in that place of being a husband. Walk in that place of being a wife. Little League and all the plays and all the coaching is not more important than your relationship with your spouse. School's not more important than what's happening in the home. So that's what we know not to do. Don't give our kids a false view of reality that they're the center of the world. They're just going to end up being spoiled rotten and get fired is what's going to happen, okay? But instead, let's walk in these things. Now let's look at the next thing that takes place in here. There's feelings of passion. There's feelings of passion. So words of praise, my doe, my lily, my rose, my stag, my stud, my gazelle, my amazing guy. This is incredible. And then we end up with these feelings of passion. Look in verse 3, and I'm going to explain it to you. Like an apricot tree. This is the lady saying this. Like an apricot tree. Among the trees of the forest, so is my love. Again, she calls him my love. Among the young men, I delight to sit in his shade. His fruit is sweet to my taste. Drop down to verse 5 and 6. Sustain me with raisins. Refresh me with apricots, for I am lovesick. Watch this. May his left hand be behind my head. May his right arm embrace me. What is that? That's getting ready for a kiss. That's what's happening right there. That's looking in the eyes. That's an embrace. May his right arm embrace me. Young women of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and the wild does. Don't stir up love before it awakes. But don't awaken love until the appropriate time. So she's saying, hey, there's passions, but we're not got a green light yet. We're not married yet. So we got to hold these passions back. We're a drag racer, but there's no green light yet on the Christmas tree coming down. And so watch what happens with these feelings of passion. An apricot in verse 3, what is that? That is symbolic of a sexual relationship is what that is. She says, my stag, my gazelle, he's like an apricot to me. He is soft. He is tender. He's sweet. He's juicy. This is a passion fruit type of thing. Then she says, I want you in verse 5, I want you to sustain me with raisin cakes and with apricots. Raisins were also considered to be sexual symbolism in that. That raisins increased your sexual desire. So here's the deal. You bring it home raisin bran, you bring it home bran flakes. What's going on here? And so she's saying, I want to dine on raisins. This is my guy. And I know in verse 7, I know it's not time yet. She's not going too far. They're not going too far. I'm not going to awaken love before it wakes. We'll see. Don't let the foxes get in the vineyard in a couple verses. And she says, but I am passionate for this guy. May his left hand be behind my head. May his right hand be at the small of my back. May he dip me and kiss me in this moment. And I want that sweetness. And there is passion. So what do you do with this when you're single? How do you react to these passions? We all have urges. God's put sexual passion in all of us. What do we do with it? Here's how we handle it. This book called Holy Sexuality in the Gospel, which is by Christopher Yuan. It's a journey. He was same-sex attracted and then how God took him through that and his relationship with the Lord through all of that. But he talks about this. He says, all sexual desire has to lead to biblical marriage to be right. Okay? So watch. So you're single and you have a sexual desire. You say, Lord, thank you that one day, I hope that you'd grant me with that young man, that young lady, that man or wife, whatever it is for you. And I have these sexual desires. It's just untimely right now, Lord. But Lord, one day I'll be able to express those in a feeling of love. And it'll be wonderful to have that passion with my darling. I taught you last week was a combination of lover and friend. And the man keeps calling her his darling together. Sexual desires that then turn to pornography, sexual desires that then turn to adultery, sexual desires that then turn to homosexuality, sexual desires that turn to anything but biblical marriage is outside the bounds of what God wants. So you can determine, okay, is this desire right by where it is heading? You can laugh at this next one. So you're a married person and all of a sudden you have sexual desires and you go, I can't wait to get home tonight. That's awesome. That's beautiful. That's intimacy between a husband and a wife. Not in some kind of relationship. I'm not trying to be, I thought you would laugh at that, but obviously you took it way too seriously. That, and it's like, dang, what church did we come to today? that then the husband and the wife come together in a tender, intimate, wonderful way that is safe. We'll talk about it in a second. Feelings of passion. So for, this is the lady saying this, ladies. There's a responsiveness to the lady. There's an initiative to the lady as well. I speak that to married women, not to single women. But to be able to have the responsiveness and the initiating as well. These are her words saying, give me raisin cakes. He is an apricot to me. He is my love and she is my darling. Number three, there's protection. There's protection. And this is where some of you maybe have been hurt in different places and you weren't properly protected, that you need to come to the Lord for protection. Third course out of five courses, and it's protection. Look at verse 17, if you will, of chapter 1. It says, the beams of our house, the woman speaking, are cedar, that's strong. The rafters are cypress, that's strong. Look at chapter 2, verse 3 as it goes on. It says, like an apricot tree, I taught you about that. So is my love among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade. She's protected. Remember, she was sunburned in chapter 1. Now she's delighting in his protection to sit in his shade at the beginning of chapter 2. Look, if you will, into verse 14. My dove in the clefts of the rock, the man saying, my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the crevices of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Do you hear safety? Why would a dove go into the cleft of the rock? Because they feel endangered into the cleft. And then the man comes and he says, my dove, tranquil and peaceful one. Do you remember last week in chapter 1 that her eyes were like doves? He says, come out, you can trust me. And ladies, of course, be very, very discerning about who you trust, and men as well. But to watch that dove then come out into that protection, do you have a heart, gentlemen, to take care of her? Ladies, do you have a heart to take care of him? Is there safety in your relationship? Intimacy births from safety. True godly intimacy births from true godly safety. If someone doesn't feel safe, they're not going to feel like they can be truly intimate. And I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about verbally. I'm talking about relationally. I'm talking about in the things they share of what's going on in their heart, in the depths of their heart. Woman is a deep, deep well. Man is a deep well too. We're probably not as deep as y'all, but we got a little bit of depth in there somewhere. But to be able to have safety in that, like a dove coming out of the cleft of the rock. The fourth out of five is publicly proud. Publicly proud. In verse 4 of chapter 2, it says this. Verse 4 of chapter 2. It says, and he brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love, is the way that I memorize it. He looked on me with love. Either way, publicly proud. Let me tell you, how do you know when the queen is in residence? The flag flies. Not the Union Jack, but the Royal Standard flag flies, and that means she is here. We want everybody to know she's here. Wear your wedding ring. Talk about your wife and your husband at work. Let everybody know who your wife is. Let everybody know who your husband is. Hold hands. Sincerely compliment one another. Let the flag fly high so that you're able to publicly praise and give the right credit where credit is due. And even if it's not due, to be able to allow her to feel lifted up and safe in your presence, to allow him to feel lifted up and safe in your presence. Because if you sit down at the table for two and everything at the table of two is you rolling your eyes, oh, he always, oh, she nevers. You're going to be pulling your little poncho's flag down. That's what you're going to be pulling. Ain't no sopapillas coming to you. But you raise that flag and you get that flag up and you say, that's my girl. That's my guy. And among the thorns of the world, she's my lily. Among all the deer, he's my stag. He's going to be the one that is there. And guys, for us to be able to be publicly proud, to sincerely compliment, to publicly praise is huge. It's tremendous. He says in here in verse 9, she says, my love is like a gazelle, like a young stag. Guys, let me ask you, you going to be a couch potato? You going to be a stud? You going to be a spud? Which is it going to be today? That's what you got your choice. You're going to be a stud, you're going to be a spud. She says, that's my guy, and I want everybody to know it. Number five, and then we'll conclude. I want you to read with me. I'm going to read a long passage of scripture, but it's good. Verse 7, and we're going to read it through. I'm going to bring it out to you to 17. Here we go. Young women of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and the wild does of the field. The guys are the gazelles. The girls are the wild does of the field. Don't stir up or awaken love before its appropriate time. Students, listen up. You wait. Singles, you wait. Verse 8, listen, my love is approaching. Look, here he comes, leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My love is a gazelle or a young stag. He's a stud is what she's saying. He, see him standing behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. That's not creepy. That's him just saying, man, we're connecting. He's calling me. We're texting. This is great. My love calls to me. Then the man says, arise, my darling, my lover and friend. Come away, my beautiful one. Doesn't that sound great, ladies? For now the winter is past. What do you think this is going to be in the next three verses? For now the winter is past. The rain is ended and gone away. Blossoms appear in the countryside. A time of singing has come. It's the end of the Disney movie. The turtle doves. Why do we sing about turtle doves in 12 days of Christmas? The turtle doves are cooing. And the sound is heard in our land. The fig tree is ripening its figs, blossoming its vines, giving off their fragrance. Arise, my darling, and come away, my beautiful. And what is he saying? Those three verses are saying it's springtime. Springtime. It's him being able to say, the buds are coming. It's not harvest time, but we can see it happening in this dating relationship. But don't arise yet. Be patient. Wait on God. You know what he's saying? Let me translate this for Houston. There's yellow pollen all over my car. That's what those three verses mean. My allergies are killing me. This is what it means. It's springtime. Look at verse 14. We already went over it, but hear it again. Now that you got the context, my dove, he says, in the clefts of the rock, I'll protect you. The crevices of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. Remember, she was worried about her complexion. Your face is lovely. Then the woman says, catch the foxes for us, for little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Watch, for our vineyards. She's not blaming him. For our vineyards are in bloom. Last two verses. My love is mine and I am his, she says. He feeds among the lilies until meaning that I am his portion. He's feeding among me. I'm giving him what he needs. He doesn't need to look anywhere else. Until day breaks, until the shadows flee, turn around, my love, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the divided mountains. The divided mountains are her breasts. She is saying, I am in love with this man. If you were to look chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, you get another chapter, verse 5, don't stir, awaken love before it is. She's having dreams about this guy. She's so lovesick. But our last point is this, and we'll wrap up. Patient and honoring God. What are the five courses that we have at the table for two? Words of praise, feelings of passion, publicly proud, or I missed one, protection that's there, publicly proud, number four, patient and honoring God. Now, if you haven't been patient and honored God, I want you to know there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. You can have a new purity in Jesus Christ. None of us have been perfect in our thoughts, and many of us haven't been perfect in our actions. And Jesus Christ can forgive you and take you and keep you. If you're single, I want you to trust in God's timing. You trust in God's timing. If you're married, you trust in God's timing as well. If you're widowed, you trust in God's timing. She's saying, I want you to know, don't let those foxes get in here. We're going to trust in God's timing. And we're going to be patient when romance runs into real life. Be patient when romance runs into real life. What does that mean? For singles, romance can run into real life, and you just need to be patient on the Lord. Maybe God's got you working through some hurts that you just got to be patient as God works through these hurts with you, works through these desires with you, works through these things that you want this so bad, this relationship, and you just got to keep saying, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. And then in his timing, God will bring that person if that's his plan for you. That's an awesome thing. It could be that the foxes in the vineyards for the singles can be unbridled or immoral passion. And you got to say, I'm not going that way. I'm only heading these passions towards biblical marriage. Married couples, what can happen to us on the table for two? Here's what can happen to us on the table for two. Let me give us a couple foxes. We can sit down and our foxes begin to be this. and there's no longer a table for two, we're giving more attention to people who aren't at our house than we're giving to people that are at our house. And at some point, you got to flip the phone over and move it over and say, how are you doing? And listen, without zzz, zzz, zzz. Technology can be a fox in the vineyard. Let me give you the word that can really ruin romance more than anything else. And it's a good word. Responsibility. Responsibility. Just don't know how your house works, but he or she gets a lot of responsibility at work. You have a few kids and there's a lot of responsibility at home. And everybody's too tired to talk about anything. And all of a sudden you move from being darling and my love to roommates that share the bills and share the roof. And she maybe don't know how your house works. She's busy with all the kids and he's busy with all the work, or she's busy with kids and work, or he's busy with kids and work and coaching the sports and doing all these things. And all of a sudden the flames flicker and the table for two is like a table for 10. And the foxes just begin to eat the vineyard. Get back to a table for two and let God do something. And realize, what are the foxes in your marriage or in your singlehood that are keeping you from really honoring the Lord in everything? And get back to that dating relationship, married folks, that you used to have. When you just couldn't, you dreaming about each other and you were in the lattice work wondering if she was home, trying to find it. Get back to that dating once a week. I'll give you a little insight into my life. I have a love language. It's a weird love language, but this I have a love language. I have a love language of a clean car. I like a clean car. It's an awesome thing. So what I bought is a season pass to the car wash. I can drive through any time I want to through the car wash. I love it. It's the best thing. It's the best, I don't know, $20 a month, whatever it is. Best $20 I spend all month long. I shouldn't say that, besides all my wife and children and giving to the Lord and tithing and helping homeless people, and I mean, you know, all that. But for just good old me, I like it, okay? So I love it. I'll drive through. It's forecast to rain. My phone will it's gonna rain. I don't care. I drive right through the car wash. Doesn't matter to me. I know everybody in the car wash. I wave at them all the time, talk to them. I've got friends with all different people in the car wash. I drive through, it'll rain right afterwards, no problem. I'll come back the next day. It's right close to my house. I'll just come right back through. I'll go through a puddle and come back. It'll be awesome. I mean, I'm being a little exaggerative at this point, but it's great. So I'll get home, things will be great at the church. I'll get home, be in a big day. Kids say, how was your day? I said, man, let me tell you about it. Let's go to the car wash. And then one of my kids said, why are y'all going to the car wash? And I'll say this, we're going to the car wash so we can kiss. That's why we're going to the car wash. And we get in the car wash and I wave at the guy that sprays the front. And then right when all those things start coming and the soap starts going, same spot every time in the car wash, right there. Just a little peck. And we talk about all the things we want to talk about that maybe we don't want every little ear hearing, right? And we just kiss in the car wash. We need a little more kissing in the car wash in our marriages, don't we? Spend most of your youth ministry time getting kids to quit kissing. You spend most of your married ministry trying to get people to start kissing. That's how it works. Just let it sink in. Just let it sink in. And to allow that to be an amazing thing. They are holding back, but they are excited. Let me show you one last thing and then we're done. Let me show you a little young couple you may recognize. That's the top of the Empire State Building and I've got a wedding ring in my pocket she doesn't know about. I'd seen Sleepless in Seattle. I knew what to do. But there were so many people around that I thought, this doesn't feel like the right place. And so we left the Empire State Building and we were with some other friends that were there. I had a roommate and his wife. They were married and he was going to Columbia, University of Columbia, for architecture masters. And so they were with us. We had a whole pack of us going together and we got into chariot. What's it called? A carriage. It wasn't quite a chariot, but it was a carriage. Solomon's got a chariot. Next time we talk, you'll see that. But we get into this carriage ride to go through Central Park and right at the right place. We've taken our kids there, right at the right place. And that rainy night, not even a pretty night, cold, rainy night, I pulled out that box and opened it up. Then I got a flashlight in because I wanted her to know how pretty this thing was and how much it cost. I didn't want any, it wasn't good lighting in the carriage. So I popped that flashlight. And she went, yes. And we hugged. And we rode off in that little carriage. And we've taken our kids back to that spot. We've taken carriage rides with our family back to that spot. And we celebrated what God was doing. And now 25 years later, do we have a perfect marriage? We do not. Do we have little tiffs and stuff? Of course we do. Does she disagree with me and find out I'm right? Of course. Do I disagree with her? Never. No, we had a normal marriage just like everybody. But you work through it because you realize at the end of the movie, that's the moment. It's not work. It's not kids. It's not school events. It's not a bank account. I'd rather a connection here and have what a chicken and onion rings than to have fraying here and have all the trappings of the world. And if you don't have a table for two with somebody, that's totally cool. There's no problem with that because you got Jesus. And Jesus is better than any husband, and he's better than any wife. He's better than any chapter of life. Jesus can love you and care for you and pull you out as a dove into his safety and his forgiveness and his purity, and all of those things. And really, even for the couples, it's really not even a table for two if it's done correctly. It's really a table for three because the Lord should be there. And God do that work in our lives. So if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come to Jesus. No one loves you more. Come to the cross and trust Jesus as your Savior. If you do know Christ as Savior, whatever stage you're in, you just trust him in his timing and you get that relationship right, or you wait on that relationship to be right and let God do something great. Father, we thank you, Lord. There's places we need to heal. There's memories that are hurts. We tell you, Jesus, we love you. Would you touch our hearts in a special way? As single adults, as students, would there be discipline and self-control and the power of God to not let love awaken before it's time, to keep the foxes out of the vineyard before the grapes are ripe? Father, for married folks, would we use the right words? Would we be people of praise and encouragement? Would we publicly lift up our spouse? We thank you, Lord. We trust you. Do your work. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.